Downloads of this show are available on Podomatic.com and the Podomatic mobile app.
What would save the world?
Veganism.
Gun control.
Ending capitalism.
Consensus.
More guns.
Nonviolent communication.
Energy.
Green energy.
Spirituality.
More regulation.
Emotional education.
End the war on drugs.
Libertarianism.
Socialism.
I'm Tuke Edelo, and this is
What Would Save the World on Radio Free Brooklyn every Wednesday from 3 to 4 p.m.
Hello, everybody. Welcome, welcome, welcome. It's Women's Month, and people can't agree on who's a woman. And I'm not even sure that I'm a woman. And I've been a vicious feminist for years, so what? I have this whole thing written down, but we're not here with my co-host, which is just depressing because, he's got that J20 defend it thing going on. Suck that dick. I have. It was weird. We would just do that and then we would cry because we were fucked up people. Okay, so everybody bring your mic down to yourself, Sage.
Hello.
God, okay, everybody just get ready so we can do this. This is live radio, everybody. So it's like one of those things which just means Tuke's a mess. So we got Sage here, who's the Marxist astrologist, who's going to be telling me where my astro governmental plane lies. And we got Anders Lee, who's our DSA comic, because now we like DSA enough, apparently, or now we're like accepting folks for
tolerating.
We're tolerating.
Okay.
Yeah. But tolerating, that's a shitty word. Tolerating,
I'll take a shitty
word. Tolerating is like when like you sit down with, like if I like came out to like, I don't know, my father's side of the family. And I was like, I'm pretty queer. I'm not sure exactly where that lies, but like, and then they would be like,
wait, what are we tolerating?
My queerness.
Okay.
Oh no, we're within this show, we're a nicer word than tolerating Andrew's DSA-ness.
Oh.
Sage, get on the fucking mic.
Oh.
Stoner. All right. Okay. It's okay. I don't mean to be talking
well,
to you.
Well,
are
you speaking for Sage? Is there another, is tolerating okay with you, or would you go even
tolerate.
Meaner?
Oh, well. I'll tolerate.
It's just tolerate.
The DSA.
But we're going to tolerate individuals from the DSA. But I want a better word because my point is tolerate.
I mean, we're so big that there's no way we would fit in this space.
I mean,
there's some groups that would, be much, you could fit the entire group and then some in this.
Yeah, that sounds
studio.
Like our group.
Yeah.
We could fit everybody who comes to our. Yeah, but so tolerating, though. Is like when my aunt on my fucking conservative side of the family is like, okay, you're queer, whatever that means, we'll tolerate it. Like, that's not like how I feel about Anders being on the show right now. I don't invite people on the show. I just want to tolerate unless they're libertarians because I have such a libertarian hate fetish. No, do you know what I mean? Like, I just want to be like, the free market's not real, slap. But yeah, so what I was going to say is that he hosts a show called Paid Protest. So that, and like, we're funded by the same people. You know, we're funded by the sugar daddy.
Mr. S.
Yeah, Mr. S. George Soros, my bitch. Who I didn't know he actually escaped the Holocaust. And then I read that recently, and then I got, like, way more offended by the whole thing.
Offended by the smears against him?
No, not about... I don't give a fuck about Soros. He's just some dude. But I got, like, kind of offended that he's, like, the modern version of who they blame all the Jewish hate on. Do you know what I'm saying? Where they're like, oh, this fucking dude.
Wait, my brain just mixed up George Soros and Bob Avakian.
Oh,
and
I don't feel
like none of this makes sense to me.
What
for
if
a
they
minute?
Switch places?
For those of you who don't know who Bob Avakian is, basically, like, he runs RevCom, the Revolutionary Communist Party. And it's basically just like, well, I guess it's a lot like Marx, because like Marx is usually just a bunch of white people talking about how they're going to take down white supremacy using shit European white dudes wrote. And I mean, I love Marx, but like, let's be real. And that's what Bob Avakian is. He's just like some white dude, except what he does.
He has a lot of connections in the black community, though.
Yeah, I know. That's what he does. He sends people out into community.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's like the Illuminati conspiracy. Do you know what I'm talking about? No. I'm not even kidding.
Like how it's popularized in...
Yeah,
and he's just like chilling in Paris.
Yeah, I have this zine that's called like How to Defeat the Illuminati, and it's just like a zine about all the parts of Illuminati that like make sense, but the parts that are like just fucked up conspiracy stuff.
Right.
Yeah, so like, I feel like that's what Papa Vakian does. Like, he gets people early in their radicalization. Do you know what I mean? Like, he radicalizes them and then sucks them kind of into a cult where they're, like, anti-abortion and stuff. That's what the RevComs do.
They're anti-abortion?
Oh, yeah, the RevComs suck. Yeah. RevComs are terrible.
I thought most of the problem is it's kind of all about Bob.
It is all about Bob. Yeah. I mean, but it's always about some dude, like, no matter what it is, like, no matter what group that I every group I
to an extent, but they're, you know, extremely Bob.
They're extreme. Bob. Yeah.
So Bob.
I'm just saying, Sage, isn't every group about some dude or some person when it comes down to it? Not every group, but most groups I've been part of, it just ends up being like some dude at the end. And then everything falls apart and then I'm depressed and don't believe in utopia anymore.
Sure. Yeah.
All right, everybody. So does anybody have anything to say before we start about Women's Month?
I have this to say, that I am going to cede my speech.
Yeah, I'm going to give you allyship points for being like, I don't know if I should say
anything. For saying that
anything.
I'm not going to say
anything. Yeah. Say, do you have anything to say?
No.
Oh, my God. All right. So... I was at the women's strike. What was it? What day of the week was this event on? Was this on like Sunday?
It was a Thursday.
Wow. It feels like so long ago, and yet it feels like yesterday. So this is one of my favorite things to do at protests. At protests, there's always some dude from the 70s. There's like, whatever. Like, I hate to
sound... The East 70s? The West 70s?
Yeah, probably, actually. One of them, because they're both kind of the same at this point. But, I mean, that's not true. One of them is, like, more likely to, like, you know, have, like, done something with Barbara Streisand's dog. That's probably the Upper East Side. I love Barbara Streisand, by the way.
I love her dogs.
Centric your life.
What? Oh, no. Oh, my God. Like, I, like, wrote, like, a fanfic about myself at Hanukkah. And, like, somebody, like, telling me that Barbara Streisand's a Zionist and just ending up in the bathroom just, like, sobbing. Just
being like, oh, really?
Yeah, of course. Every old Jew is a Zionist. Not to excuse.
Mandy Patinkin is not.
Oh, but Mandy Patinkin is something special. Yes, he looks for me. Good. Let him look for me to tell me why he left me. Anyway, I love Mandy Patinkin. Like, that is like who I base my whole personality on. Anyway, what were we getting to?
Must have another side that I haven't seen in the Batamp.
Mandy Patinkin has this gorgeous voice that just like tells you he believes in something, and then he'll turn around and he'll yell at you. I love people like that. People with the beauty and the anger. It's great. But you have two kinds of dudes who show up at like meetings. You either have some dude who's just like really cool. He's like 70 and like still open, you know? Yeah. And you're just like, hey, like, I'm so glad you're here. Like, that you don't just think we're dumb millennials. And then there's the ones who think that we're the dumb millennials, you know, who like sold out in the 80s to like, you know, you ever see hypernormalization, all that shit. Like, you know, sold out in the 80s to the corporate whatever, like probably picked up some like, you know, hair gel and stuff after like being a protester. And now they're back to tell us everything we've done wrong. This is this dude.
And they still bring like the
And they still bring,
the American flag around a protest.
Yeah, they bring the American flag. It's like, bitch, I burn that shit. Like, that's the only acceptable way to use an American flag, is to either burn it or be Queen of More. Be Queen of More is a performance art. Anyway, let's fucking listen to this dude, because this is one of the funniest things. It's actually just, like, hysterical. I'm going to leave on the mic so people can react.
Kill all rapists. That's a great message.
What do you think the message should be?
Prevent rape. Prevent rape. Don't kill. What gives you the right to kill somebody? Nobody.
Well, what if they killed my fucking soul?
You prevent rape.
I don't think anybody's saying
good
parenting, good
morals. Well, that's what the thing says.
Well, I mean, yeah, but after there's a rapist, then what are you supposed to do with them? What do you think we should do?
Self-defense.
What should I do once I've been raped?
Self-defense.
So you think do you call that victim blaming?
No.
What if I can't defend myself?
Yeah, I didn't. Well, prevent rape.
Yeah, I'm with you, man. But sometimes self-defense means kill them.
If that's the case, but don't kill all rape.
Dude. Like, of all the fucking things, like, issues you can stand on, it's like ridiculous. Standing up here, like, don't kill all the rapists.
I'm saying, like, to put a message on a sign with very few people.
But yours says NYCactivism.org. Like,
this is maybe
anything you could stand on that's like a little better than
it's
don't.
It's a calendar.
Then
it's a calendar.
Don't kill rapists. Like, don't kill. That's
no,
like
I'm saying prevent rape.
I think they agree.
Teach young boys and women to not rape. That's
I think we're with you.
Yeah.
Then I don't know.
What's the message? First of all, people don't even know what this is. Half the people do, and half the people don't, because I'm asking
you. All right. It stops being funny at that point. But then he starts making actually decent points, and then I was like, oh, maybe I should be nicer to you. But because like he started to be like, oh, well, nobody knows what this is about. And that's actually like a serious problem I have with a lot of activist shit is like nobody knows what the fuck we're talking about half the time. We're like, FTP. We're like, what do we even talk about? And then we have, you know, like every nation, every race, punch a Nazi in the face for like women's strike. And people are like, what are you talking about? Like, I'm down. Let's fucking murder a Nazi. But it's just like, what are we talking about? Oh, shit.
Yeah.
Sage. So let's move on from this. Well, actually, every nation, every race, punch a Nazi in the face. I have issues with that. And then also saying open borders at the same protest. Like, how about just like no USA? Like, oh, no yeah. nations. They're like, no Trump, oh, no KKK, yeah. no fascist USA. And I'm just like, no USA.
Well, while nations are still around, we should punch Nazis in the
yeah,
face.
Yeah, 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 yeah. But like, how about America is KKK, punch a Nazi in the face? I don't know. So a lot of...
Might get a little muddled there, but I like the sentiment.
People made up some good versions in the past.
Yeah.
I just like can't remember them right now.
All right. Sade, can you tell me what the fuck happened at the women's strike before I fucking got there, because I was getting high and then I was like, oh shit, I should be there.
It was just like everyone was just first we were like holding up the banner that said like all cops are racist and or all cops are bastards and some are rapists, and then some like NYU-esque girl walks by and like she's like she's like cop save your life. Your lives.
But she got NYU.
She looked like she did.
Gentrifying.
She
bitch.
Had like anyway. The vibe, yeah. the NYU vibe. and then we just got
she
into
tastes
a,
like kale.
We just got into a screaming match that was just like very, it was just very collegey. And I was like, I'm being a little extra right now, but this is infuriating.
I recommend being extra at all times. That's what the women's strike is about. It's just about people being extra.
She was just like justifying it by being like, "Oh, my parents are CEOs."
Well, and I was like, CEOs?
CEOs.
What's that?
Like correctional officers.
That's literally like one of the worst kinds of officers you can be. That means you just like work in a fucking prison.
I was just like,
you
well,
literally
fuck them
work
too.
In a prison.
Yeah.
That's why I love the sanitation cops. I'm just like, oh, you're just pathetic. Like, I'm not scared of
no,
you.
No, no, no. My favorite are the cops in the smart cars, because, like, I have this, like, whole theory that it's, like, some, like, cop social exile thing. So when they're like, oh, like, fuck Joe, he, like, drank the rest of the coffee and, like, the wherever they hang out. And, like, so they're like,
donuts.
Yeah. So they're like, yeah, so like let's just assign Joe to like the smart car today, just to like embarrass him.
Oh my god, I love when they're in the little fucking things, the little like choo choo things at the protest, and like, everybody kept putting snow on the back of it and shit, and like people would just like decide in the middle of March we're just gonna walk in front of it, and then some of the cops get like mad, and then some of them are just like laughing. They're like, this is dumb, because there's like we are just yelling like fuck the police and all this shit, and if I was a cop, honestly, I'd be fucking terrified. Of one of those more, but there's still like not even that many of us. Like there really weren't that many of us.
Yeah.
Like the fact that they make such a big deal out of what we're doing is hilarious.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but what happened? So I know that like some shit went down in Washington Square Park. I know that we had all our famous favorite alt-right celebrities that we share way too much because everybody knows who they are because of us. But like, what happened? Tell me.
Okay, so there was like Jovi doing.
People who don't know who Jovi is a fucking actor. I don't believe that Jovi believes a word. Do you even know what we're talking about?
No.
Okay, this is some super fringy like
some
bullshit.
Alt-right so the, live yeah,
these
streamer.
Alt-right people. He's not even really alt-right,
wait,
though.
Wait, is his name Joe, the last name, initial V,
no,
or Jovi?
Like, J-O-V-I.
His name's Jovi. That's his last name, I think.
Like Bon Jovi.
Yeah, okay. Oh my God.
Like the bad Jovi.
Let's start calling him Bon Jovi. He's like... The whatever.
What's French for bad? Because bon is good, right?
It's mal.
Mal
je vie. Like, what is bad in French?
I think it's just mal.
Yeah, mal.
Mal Jovi. Oh my god, I want to just make a movie called Jovi is the Warmest Color. That's so dumb. I don't know. So I love that movie. I cried the whole thing. So anyway, so it's Jovi is just like an actor, pretty much. Like, so one of my friends says that Caribou, I can say that Caribou will go up to him and just be like, "Hey man, I know what it's like to be a failed actor." And Jovi will just like look at him like, "Oh my," he's probably like a performance artist. But anyway, Jovi was there with his American flag and his crying and his bitching.
And his MAGA hat.
His MAGA hat. Like, at least the other alt-right don't go as far to wear the MAGA hat. That's just some like, that's some like basic bitch shit, you know? That's like some Becky of the alt-right stuff, like to wear the MAGA hat.
Like, the like basic,
come on, be a little weirder. Like, talk to me about white genocide in South Africa. Like, you know, as much as ridiculous as I think that is, like, I prefer it when they're a little weirder. But
that does, I mean, when I've only seen a couple actual MAGA hats. You see that, and then you look at it for a second, it's like, oh, this is an ironic knockoff. But when I actually see the Make America Great Again hat, it gives me kind of a chill down my spine. So it is kind of a scintillating.
Really?
Yeah.
Because I feel like I see a MAGA hat and I'm like, oh, you read one article about libertarianism when you were like, you know, like 22 and you have no hobbies, really.
Sure.
And
they're not very sophisticated people necessarily, but they are a scary force, I would say.
Yeah, I guess. I mean, the one person that I've like talked to who had a MAGA hat on was at the inauguration after I'd just been like pepper sprayed in the face and was having like a fucking PTSD attack in the middle of like this park. But I went up to this guy and we were talking about something. He was like, I believe in like America first, or I don't agree with abortion, because I forget what it was, but he just did not understand anything. So dudes, MAGA hats, I'm not afraid of. I'm afraid of like Cernovich and shit. But please, actually, let's talk about this. We're getting off topic. Fuck these alt-right people. I'm making fun of Jovi for having a stupid, ugly-ass hat.
Oh, yeah. So Jovi was there, and then he had, like, a new friend. Like
is he a girlfriend?
No. He just had, like, he was just one of those, like, white dudes with, like, the really chunky heads. Like, the chunkiest head. Just some, and, like, yeah, he, like, also had, like, a MAGA hat on. And then there's like the JDL people who all had like the woman.
So, Jewish Defense League, they are Zionist radical people.
Yeah, they had like their signs like women love Trump and like Jews for Trump. And
was that dude there?
I think
the short little dude with the yarmulke, the one I debated. Like, I love him.
Yeah. And and then this like one, like just this like one woman with like a Ahed Tamimi's a liar poster, and on the back it had like All Lives Matter with all IDF soldiers, and like she was like telling us that like how she wanted to see like me and June in like prison and stuff.
I wish I was there. Oh my god, I need to be so I can be like, I'm a Jew. My great grandparents came to the city and lived on the Lower East Side, and they were here when Emma Goldman was here. Emma Goldman would tell you to. So then, what did they do?
Like, as, like, the Marxist astrologist, like, I'm an Aries. So I was just, like, I just
Does that mean you're, like,
argue.
A basic level anarchist? Does that mean you have, like, a moon sign?
I mean,
and like do you have, who do you have a moon sign in? Do you have, like, a moon sign in Kropotkin or, like
Or Marx.
Marx. I mean,
only two options.
Bakunin.
Bakunin, eh?
Bakunin.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that I'm, like, maybe, like, a Goldman Zapatista cusp. You know, I mean, yeah, like, I really just, like, want to hear you tell me about the astro-governmental plane, the JDL. what do they do? Let's get real for a sec.
Fuck. Oh, yeah, no, I just, and then, again, we just got into, like, a screaming match, and, like, they're just, I'm just, like, I don't understand how you can be thrown, like, actual, like, it's just so stupid.
Yeah, but then didn't they do some like crazy shit? Didn't they like start to get really physical with people, or like
snowballs happened?
Snow. Okay.
Did they pepper spray people or not?
Oh, I wasn't there for that.
Any yellow?
I heard it happened.
Any yellow snowballs?
Oh, there should have been.
Depending on which direction that would have. been sick.
I mean, I don't know what we're talking about anymore. JDL pepper sprayed people at the Women's Mart or the Women's Strike, and I'm so mad that Peter is here because Peter, I'll see Peter. It was just ridiculous. We're in this park, and then JDL just comes out of fucking nowhere, and I'm there with fucking Lauren Southern and all these fucking people. And JDL comes out of my... I never thought I would live in an age where I had to be like, I'm not one of those Jewish people. Like, I'm not one of them. You know, I feel like... I feel really alienated from my people. Mm. Anyway, it's 3:21. Do we got any more other shit about to say about the women's strike? Because we should run outside for a minute as soon as I can figure out how to log into my my Spotify on this computer, which I didn't do. Okay, why don't we give him a preview of what's coming up next? We're going to be talking a little bit about like neuro stuff and like conditions that people label on people. Why don't you talk a little bit about that? What you're doing, a one-man show, right?
Yes. Yeah, this is kind of the first time I've really... discuss this publicly.
Oh my god!
Yeah,
cherries will be broken.
Yeah, I have a solo show that as of today I just filled out the thing, and I'm going to be in Edinburgh this summer at the Fringe Festival.
You should meet up with my middle school drama teacher.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What are, do they live out there? Or they're just,
no, they just go every year.
Oh, cool. Yeah, let's talk after the show, but. Or during the show, whatever. It's your show.
No, I thought it'd be fun.
Let's have them phone in. My show that I'm doing now is about the autistic spectrum and about kind of learning disabilities and stuff. I was diagnosed as a little kid with autistic spectrum disorder. I don't necessarily identify as autistic now, so the show is kind of about like, what does this really mean? My belief is that it's really not a medical phenomenon. It's really a cultural phenomenon, the way we understand these things.
I'm so excited. Do you have more to say about it before we're gonna play a song that I play? Wait, actually, no, we're not gonna play Solidarity Forever. We're gonna play Which Side Are You On?
Good one.
Yeah. That song is so fucking crazy. Which side are you on? Okay, let's put it on top though, just in case. So everybody, we're gonna go outside for just a couple of minutes, and we're gonna play you some Pete Seeger. Which side are you on? I feel like everybody. So I used to live in this fucking commune, and I feel like everybody who ever lived on the commune must have listened to this at some point and been like, "I know what side I'm on." I know what side I'm on, and then they got there and they couldn't. Then, you know, with vegans hated the meat eaters and you know, all that shit.
Has come in here to dwell.
Which side are you on? Which side are you on?
My daddy was a miner, and I'm a miner's son, and I'll stick with the union till every battle's won.
Which side are you on? Which side are you on?
They say in Harlan County there are no neutrals there. You'll either be a union man or a thug for J.H. Blair.
Which side are you on? Which side are you on?
Oh, workers, can you stand it? Oh, tell me how you can. Will you be a lousy scab or will you be a man?
Which side are you on? Which side are you on?
Don't scab for the bosses, don't listen to their lies. Us poor folks haven't got a chance unless we organize.
Which side are you on? Which side are you on? Which side are you on? Which side are you on?
forever, solidarity forever, solidarity forever, for the union makes us strong.
When the union's inspiration through the workers' blood shall run, there can be no power greater anywhere beneath the sun. Yet what force on earth is weaker than the feeble strength of one? But the union makes us strong.
Solidarity forever, solidarity forever, solidarity forever, for the union makes us strong.
It is we who plowed the prairies, built the cities where they trade, dug the mines and built the workshops, endless miles of railroad laid. Now we stand outcast and starving mid the wonders we have made, but the union makes us strong.
Solidarity forever! Solidarity forever! Solidarity forever! Yes, George Soros makes us strong!
They have taken untold millions that they
never toiled at earn.
But without our brain and muscle, not a single wheel can turn. We can break their haughty power, gain our freedom when we learn that the union makes us strong.
Solidarity forever.
In our hands is placed a power greater than their hoarded gold, greater than the might of atoms magnified a thousandfold. We can bring to birth.
Hey, everybody!
The ashes of the old, for the union makes us strong.
Anyway, hi, everybody. Welcome back. Welcome back to What Would Save the World on Radio Free Brooklyn. I wonder how many like people actually from New York are on this station. I don't know. But I like the station. Anyway. So, everybody, Sage.
Yes.
What's our beef with the DSA? I don't even know anymore.
Well, okay, this isn't...
Get onto the mic,
this isn't
babe.
Necessarily...
Wait, did you already ask about the Pride thing?
What happened on... you can ask.
I'm just still so fucked up over this. Okay, so at Pride, the DSA, I just saw them do the wildest thing. They were saying... They were singing Solidarity Forever, but instead of forever, it was Jeremy Corbyn. Mm-hmm. But like at Pride.
So it was like Solidarity Jeremy Corbyn. Like
yeah,
that?
Yeah.
Or were they singing Jeremy Corbyn? Were they doing that?
They were just really hyping up Jeremy Corbyn during Pride. And it was really funny because like in my head, I was like, do I want one?
Yeah, I forgot I had
one. Oh, totally.
I'm good. Okay.
Wow.
We have beer. So solidarity with Jeremy Corbyn. Is Jeremy Corbyn our new gay icon?
Yes, our new gay icon is what I wanted to ask the DSA.
He's very popular among people in the DSA, many of whom are gay.
Nice. Word. Okay. Well, I'll like, pass this on.
So like what's your issue
community?
With Corbyn? I don't know enough about him. I pay like zero attention to electoral politics.
Just curious.
Oh, you're just okay.
Like out of all the gay icons, like Jeremy Corbyn. I think he's a fabulous choice.
So maybe I'm being a blind follower. So my understanding is whenever I've gone to an action with like anybody that I mostly agree with politically, DSA is there and people are like, ugh. And I've always been kind of like, yeah, I went to one meeting in Austin and it kind of pissed me off. But like, it wasn't that bad. Like, it wasn't that bad. Like, why do we hate them?
Oh, well, I think,
why
like,
do we? Let's
I think
talk
the
as
big
for one
two
person.
Issues that like people bring up are like the electing the union cop and
I mean,
and the Charlottesville money.
I don't know about the Charlottesville money. What's this about?
Oh, yeah, I know about this.
They're just, like, super unprepared with it. And, like, instead of trying to give it out directly, they, like, gave it to a charity. And it took a really long time for anyone to see their money.
Because people got really hurt, as you know, with the car.
Right.
With the car and everything.
Yeah.
The Charlottesville had a really good impact on my life, actually, because I was about to go into porn with some people that I really didn't fucking trust. And then...
all this stuff happened in Charlottesville, and I actually heard about some people that I really care about getting fucked with in Charlottesville, and I was like, I can't come. And the guy was like, don't ever call me again. And I was like, okay, I won't. So Charlottesville made me not get into scary porn. Side note for everybody who cares about my sex worker career. But Charlottesville, the thing with the money, did you, I heard that it eventually worked out though.
Eventually, but people are still like, it's like, there's like a process to get it. Cause like it went through a charity instead.
I think the issue people have is DSA maybe tends to be a little more statist, and a lot of radical activists get really irritated. And it's like, not, I think that it's kind of, I personally feel it's kind of unfair to be like, fuck the entire DSA for that, because I don't understand how any of their shit works. It seems like it's like a bunch of caucuses.
Oh,
like
I just want to join and make a random caucus.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. We should just join yeah. and make like a really dumb caucus, but then make it really rad.
Well, yeah. I mean, I think when you say statist, that is an important point, because I think it depends if you're joining DSA or whatever your stance towards them is. You have to think about, like, to what extent do you want to influence state policy? And that's what DSA is about. It's we're trying to build a party. I mean, I'm not speaking for everyone in DSA or the official line or anything.
Is this what you agree? Is this what you think? You want to build a political
right.
party?
A mass party. And if you look at the history of, like, socialist parties in the early 20th century, like, I think that's what the direction we're going in right now. And the kind of contradictory thing about that is, because of the way the system is structured now, we can't really become an actual party, but we are going moving in the direction of becoming like an unofficial party that has candidates. But not only that, it's you know, structured in a similar way to like the communist and socialist parties of like the 1930s, in that there are activities, there are extra electoral functions that this party is engaging in. And so it's a mass party. It's something people can get involved with that's not just electing candidates, although that is a key component of it, which separates it from other organizations. But I do think, like, in general, especially right now, we do need more of a direct action orientation.
Yeah,
see, you know, we have to understand these things better if we're going to be involved. I mean, I wouldn't say to everybody, if you're, you know, to an anarchist, in my heart of hearts, I would call myself an anarchist. I would be considered a bad one by probably most anarchists.
Can you but be a like, bad anarchist?
I have TSA anarchist pals.
Yeah. You have to be an anarcho-capitalist to be a bad anarchist. Like, No.
Or like a misogynist or like racist.
Yeah. Or just like pretty much everybody I've ever met who calls himself an anarchist, including myself. I know. This is what I've come up with recently. There's like fantasy anarchists, which is just people who, you know, don't live in the real world like me. And then there's people who are IRL anarchists, and they're usually kind of socialists. You know what I mean? Like, they're usually. See, I'm really into what this dude Ryan, who was on like a couple weeks ago, was talking about. Ryan does like worker unionized shit where he helps people organize. Yeah. Which is like cool. Like, electoral politics, unless it's city council, are very, very low level. I have very little faith in him. Like, I think it's kind of ridiculous how much of a big deal we make about the president.
I mean, it's ridiculous. I mean, it's ridiculous.
President.
Yeah. Yeah. It's ridiculous that we have a president. Like it or not, and I don't like it either, that position is the most powerful position on earth. So I think to not take a stance and to not like try to have some influence on that particular election, I think is a little mistaken.
Well, yeah,
and if the reason for DSA's a big part of this wave is of course the Bernie Sanders campaign, which
Bernie.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know if you want to open that can of worms.
No, but. I love Bernie in his way, old Zionist man. But, like, I mean, Bernie's cool. He gave me some hope. Like, you know, can we get all depressed for a minute, then move on to this neurotypical / autism / mental health, whatever the fuck we're going to get on here. I think that the past couple of years have been so. You know what I mean? Like, we were all like,
oh, it sucks.
It sucks. Like, Bernie's not perfect.
It wasn't great before, though, you know.
Oh, it was like, it was awful. No, what I'm saying, yeah. Hear me out. I was at Occupy, watched that crumble, you know, like, watched it just become, like, very, nobody really knew what the fuck I was talking about before this, or I didn't know a lot of people who were really interested in politics. And now anarchism is relevant. People are writing about Antifa and shit.
Yeah.
But, like, before, it wasn't really true. So then Bernie kind of was coming on the up and up. And it seemed like, oh, wow, like maybe the United States is finally going to like get over a lot of the shit that sucked. Or maybe we're going to be progressing a little bit more. Like I was very excited about Bernie. You know, I didn't love Bernie, everything about Bernie, but like, I don't know how you feel about it, Sage, but I was pretty excited about Bernie.
Oh, well, by that time I was like kind of already. Oh, sorry. I just like went off on like a brain tangent for a minute, but
tell me about it.
Yeah. So at the time I was already like pretty like skeptical of Bernie, because I was like kind of already like identifying as an anarchist.
I was an anarchist too, but I was like, he's better.
I was already like very hesitant to like support any candidate or politician, so I was just very like,
I feel that. Okay, well, whatever. Yeah. I was excited. I thought we were gonna have a little bit of something different, and then he didn't get it. Then I was like, okay, it's going to be Hillary. At the very least, I can say that I saw the first woman president, even if I don't like her. You know, I was like, at least that can happen. And then we just got like the worst. And like literally on election night, I went into Gotham Bar and I just sat there and I was like looking at the, it was early. I was like, oh, Trump won. And this guy's like,
was I with you?
No, you weren't. No, I don't think we were together election. I didn't even know you yet. I met you on J20. But then... then I looked at this guy and I was like, he's going to win. He's like, no way. No way. I'm like, I don't know, man. He's going to win. He's winning. And then I went to this fucking open mic and I was like running the backyard and all these girls just start like crying and I had to be the guy. I had to be like the dude. I was like, don't worry, girls. We're going to fight it. Oh my God, I felt like I was in fucking Rocky or something.
I love that.
It was ridiculous, and I don't know. And then I became way more of an anarchist, and then I hated all of it. But see, that's what it is. Like, I just have no faith in it. Like, yeah, I'm going to vote for the president, and if I think there's a good candidate, I'm going to back them up. But I have no faith in any of this shit anymore. It's not real. Like, the president's not, like, a real thing that we actually get to decide.
Oh, yeah, I was already on, like, the whole, like, abstaining from voting stuff.
I don't know how I feel about that, but like, whatever people want to do.
I mean, I actually discovered Bernie when I was in high school, and, like, I was really into Ralph Nader. I'm 26.
Ralph Nader.
Yeah, I was really into Nader.
No, just like when me and my friends would play Barbies when we were kids, we would play really weird games, and at some point, like, we would be like, I voted for this person, and one of the girls was like, actually, you know Molly Kornfeld? She's a comic. I've known her since...
I don't know her well, but
I grew up with her.
Oh, okay.
And her little sister was like, I voted for Nader. I voted for Nader. So like, I just can't not laugh at Ralph Nader. I voted for Nader.
Yeah, he's a fascinating and hilarious, too, because he's... I mean, he has no sense of humor, but he's a very funny... he's a virgin, too. He's like a... he's an asexual man.
Really?
Yeah, yeah. Ooh, I could go on about Nader, but... but that's where my politics were in like high school at that age. And then by the time Bernie ran for president, I was already significantly to the left. But that's why I think there is a difference between being sort of like uncritically supportive of any candidate, let alone Bernie. And then there's
and that happened with Bernie.
With some people.
With
but
a
I
lot
think
of people.
Many people. Yeah, yeah, absolutely. But I think what's happening now is those people are joining organizations like DSA where they're being further radicalized. And so there's a significant portion of people. And it's not going to be all or even most of his supporters should he run again. But there are enough who can support him critically.
He shouldn't run again.
I think he should. I think he
shouldn't run again.
Bernie can still win.
Oh, my God. So that was something that I thought recently, like somewhere at any given point on a forum, there is some dude talking about how Bernie really won the election and they're going to find the papers and Bernie's going to be our messiah. I think it's over. I think he's fucking 76. Honestly, I think we need somebody younger, and it's not about age. Nobody that's actually on the stage.
I'll run.
No, I'm serious. Like, people that I personally know, I think should be president. Not anybody I personally know, but, like, what I mean is just, I think that we need someone with, like, a fresher mind. Like, I don't think that Bernie really understands the situation of people our age or the people who are coming up in this world.
I don't think you need that, though. I really believe the president is a symbolic position, largely.
But you also said that it's the most important position.
Well, it is... because they're the consequences of what they do have a lot of weight, but the actual person who's in there is, I think, kind of is not, is a secondary thing, their personality, their whatever. Like, if he's the, he can be a vessel. There's a Native American activist who had a very good point. I remember during the election, she was like, yeah, excuse me, indigenous.
Sorry, no, native means naive, so that's why I don't.
Is that what it means?
It means that somebody told me. I don't know if it's true, but okay. That's why I don't say
I've
it.
Also heard that apparently American Indian is the most up-to-date thing.
Really? I don't fucking know. I say indigenous. Whatever. There's no, who fucking right. cares? Sage, do you have a pit? You know more than me about everything.
I mean, like, I mean, they're like, I mean, I feel like you can, I mean, I'm not like indigenous, but like,
but you were smarter than me.
Well, they're, no, but like, I mean, they're also just like, just on what's like more commonly used by like indigenous people, like actually I think tends to be more like, well, I mean, it just like,
it's what?
Still,
it's
okay.
What?
I think it's still okay to say Native American.
What do they use more?
Well, I think it's still chill to say Native American.
Okay, yeah, okay, many in Minnesota, a lot of people self-identify as Native.
Okay, okay, yeah. Fine, fine,
or
fine.
What, you know.
I'm an SJW, give me a I really
but,
am though.
But this person was saying that Bernie Sanders is a tool. And I think that's a great point. He can be a tool to accomplish a lot of great things. He's not the end all be all, and he's going to betray and do all sorts of terrible things. But it goes back to what extent do you want to use the state as it exists now? Because there are socialists who would say, fuck the state until we can have enough numbers to actually take over the state and change it. We shouldn't, you know, fuck with it at all. And I don't think that's going to happen anytime soon.
Yeah, yeah. I think that as a, I kind of believe we live in purgatory. Like, I just feel like this is like such a world where anything you do good is just going to be so fucked up at the same time. Mm-hmm. So I just think if Bernie Sanders even got into office, he would die within a couple of weeks. It would be like something like that. Like, if he had won the... No, like, I'm sorry. Like, I am like so fucked up on all this stuff right now that that's what happened. We'd be like, Bernie! And then it would just be like, oh. But then I mean, we'd probably, he'd pick a really good vice president, so it'd be fine.
Keith Ellison, hopefully, yeah.
Or like, I don't even know. I don't care about any of these people. They're all there. But you actually, I don't remember if it was you or the other person. I was listening to Pod Dam. Pod Anders is also on this show called Pod Dam America with Jake Flores, who was on the show a couple weeks ago. That you guys were talking about how if Kamala Harris runs, it's going to be the same thing as the Hillary thing.
Yeah.
And that's what I'm afraid of, really, yeah, with the Bernie thing. I'm just afraid of it turning, because it's so like, people are not that bright. Like, they, I think people are smart, but people are kind of like, they hold on to their prejudices. And you can see with our fuck, what we're saying about the DSA, we're like, the DSA, like, we don't really know shit about that. I don't really know shit about
that. It's just like the goofiest part of the collapse.
What is?
Just like politics right now and like the government.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. But what I'm saying is like, a lot of people would be like, you know, but you know, we can't vote for Bernie because the Bernie bros made it so Hillary couldn't win. It would just become this like ridiculous thing, and it's just gonna, it would just be like a repeat. It would be this whole like fucking identity politics, or like, you know, pseudo identity politics versus like, I don't know, like young socialists.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's gonna depend on, well, I mean, young is, I think, the key word there, because in 2016, you know, Bernie Sanders won young people as a constituency, and a lot of those were people of color, which is something that is often left out of that sort of narrative.
I don't know if people leave that out. Although in New York City, if you look at the map, it actually is the white working class that voted for Bernie more than the other areas that are considered to be more areas where people of color live. If you look at the map of the breakdown.
Sure. And then, you know, and there's plenty of reasons for that go back to Clinton in the 90s. But
it's because when Hillary was younger, she didn't suck as much. When Hillary, before the 90s, when Hillary was young, what? Are you going to come out with this thing where you don't even really know what you're talking about? I'm going to be really harsh with you here. When Hillary Clinton was young, when she was a young lawyer, she did some cool shit. She had like a rape crisis prevention, da da da. She went into like segregated schools and like did some law stuff about it. So that's why you'll have like old black women be like, I love Hillary because of shit like that.
I don't know how aware people are of that. I mean, that's before really she was a public figure at all. I think her whole, I think her whole career has been characteristic of other Democratic Party politicians, which is relatively not that bad given the alternatives time, but still not acceptable to anybody who's, yeah.
Just when I was trying to convince myself that I was going to have to vote for her in the main election, I had to find something.
You voted for her?
Of course I voted for her in Virginia.
Oh, you were in Virginia. Okay.
Well, no, I do some illegal shit.
Okay, fair play. won't incriminate you on air, but
no, I mean, come. No, but here, actually, though, as somebody who talks to a lot of different kinds of people in New York, I probably would have done it here too, just because I knew this was such, if this was a different election, I just wouldn't have voted. But because I felt I had talked to enough people in New York and in Staten Island and different places that I was like, oh, Trump could win this state. Like, I actually thought there was a small chance he could have won New York. And I've lived here my whole life and I've never felt like this was going to go Republican. And I thought it could. So I paranoid voted for Hillary and I had to convince myself. But I also voted for Virginia, where it makes a huge difference.
Yeah. Yeah. If I was in Virginia, I would have voted for her.
You're like, you voted for her?
I mean, there are people who, if they knew I didn't vote for her, would do all kinds of terrible
things. Who did you vote for?
Jill Stein.
Oh, you did.
Uh-huh.
Oh, honey. Oh,
in New York.
That's so sad. No, I was giving you a hard time. That's sad. No, as long as you didn't vote for Gary Johnson. But okay, so we got in this whole fucking thing about Bernie and the whole thing. Oh God, I usually shy away from electoral politics on this show because I think they're dumb. I mean, they matter, but they're dumb. It's just like, yeah, like, you know, I really like this sports player. Like, I feel like I'm like, yeah, like, I'm rooting for the, I voted for the Yankees. Like, so much. Like, we all know, like, yeah, sometimes I just think for the most part it's predetermined. I don't really believe that we have any say. I think that in a large way the United States is just a country where people tell us we have say over stuff and we don't always.
Oh yeah, I mean, totally.
Like, although
they give us the choices. Yeah,
and it's always such like secret shit. Like, I was like, when Puerto Rico happened, you know about the Jones Act. The Jones Act was the thing that like banned people from different countries to, or not from the United States, from sending aid to Puerto Rico, which is terrible after a hurricane. So for that to be a thing. And then we all called in and we called our senators and we were like, you have to stop the Jones Act. And I told my senator's office, like, I'm going to call you every day. And then they get this like news story that's like, Donald Trump suspended the Jones Act for 10 days. You know what I'm saying? For 10 days. Mm-hmm. And nobody reads that. They just read, they just suspended the Jones Act. We did it. We're good Democrats. No. It was 10 days. 10 days? And now, you know, look at where Puerto Rico is now. So my point is, it's always like just some secret. It's always so fake and contrived.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm so depressed now. Why did we do this? What would save the world? Not my tears. So we have like about 12 minutes left. I really want to talk more about this mental health stuff.
Okay.
So I also wanted to get more Marxist astrology. No, you don't want to do it. You can't do it right now. Okay.
I have none.
You're not there yet. Okay. Mm-hmm. And you'll have to come on another day and we'll Marxist astro.
The moon is in the right phase.
Yeah. You don't have to be you, me, and Sage, and June, and Milo. And Milo. Yeah, we do have Milo. Milo is a great musician. Anyway. So what do you think it is? Do you think that it's like a thing that do you think that autism is not real, or do you think it's like a kind of person who exists that we have made to be like it's a, like an illness rather than just like a kind of person? Like, I'm hypersensitive. Like, mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, I'm not hypersensitive.
Yeah.
But like, that doesn't mean that it's like a negative thing or like a mental challenge or whatever the fuck.
Right.
What do you even call it? Like,
well, I think the most up-to-date, definition, and this isn't really a definition that would be clinical or accepted by the medical model, but from, you know, journalists and activists, they would say autism is a constellation of different cognitive, neurological oddities, peculiarities, differences from the norm. And I guess what my sort of question is, like, okay, what is the norm? Like, how many people, I mean, because they have this binary now that's, you're either neurotypical or you're neurodiverse, because even a lot of people now are saying, you know, autism is probably not the best designation for this. And so neurodiverse, neurodivergent, that's the sort of nomenclature we should use. But I'm not, my own opinion is a lot of we're putting a little too much focus on the language and not enough on unpacking like what normal actually is, what a neurotypical person actually is, because I don't really think there is anybody, there's very few people who meet the criteria for someone who education system in the United States and most Western countries caters to, and who fit that criteria for most, you know, jobs and things like that. It's a very small minority who is quote unquote neurotypical. So that's not typical at all, is kind of my
I absolutely
thesis,
hear what you're saying.
My muddled, very like autistic sounding thesis.
It made sense to me, but people have proposed that I am autistic. Yeah. So I don't know, because I get really into things. I'm like, this musical is like exactly why I'm an anarchist and like all this like shit. Like, I don't know. I just, people think I'm autistic. You know, Elsa Waithe, the comedian, we were hanging out and she was like, it's like, yeah, people have told me I'm autistic. She's like, I see it. But
yeah, but it's like,
but see, I almost took it as a compliment because like most people I know who are neuroatypical are awesome or like quote unquote. Right. But I hear what you're saying. It's a problem to distinct say this is normal and this is not
right. And you take like your example, like the example of you, like if you take a lot of these textbook definitions, they don't apply to you at all.
They don't.
And it's just anybody who is off the mark for whatever reason or doesn't abide by some sort of like unspoken social like code or whatever is.
Yeah, exactly. And I've looked into it. I've looked into like what is autism and I know that I don't have that or like what people say it is. Like I'd be like, oh, I wouldn't recognize face. I remember everybody. I met you like, you remembered me more than I remembered you. I was like, oh, I saw you at a mic. I was like, that guy looks familiar. And then I realized you were Jake's friend and shit. But
And there really is no singular definition even today. You look on online and Google autism definition, you're gonna find 10 very different phrasings of different things, different
phenomena. Is it people who would succeed in the workforce versus people who wouldn't succeed in the workforce?
That's kind of what I've been going with, but if you look at Silicon Valley and places like that, there's like the capitalism has adapted to people who are asocial and sort of savant-like. So that's a thing. Well, but people who maybe are not as high performing in, you know, a mathematic thing, but they still have those, you know, difficulties with fine motor skills or
they have politics, obsessive compulsive disorder.
Yeah.
Hello.
Right. It's very complicated. I mean, I ultimately do think it is tied up in capitalism and education.
I have a really important question for you though. This is actually, I can't believe I'm even throwing this at you when we have like 8 minutes left. So on Democracy Now, when they were talking about white supremacists and white supremacist rehabilitation, they said that a significant portion of the people who entered those had undiagnosed autism. What do you think of that? Like, that's something that I've thought about for a long time.
Yeah.
So there's autism in the way that we're talking about it, that it's a neuroatypical thing. And I don't think like, oh, if you're autistic, you're more likely to be a Nazi. I don't think that at all. I think that like Nazis are more likely to be autistic. Do you know what I'm saying? It's like the opposite way. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, it's not saying people who have autism are more likely to be Nazis. No, it's people who are Nazis are more likely to be autistic. No, you don't agree? Why?
Well, that's
a thing they've studied though. Like whoever the fuck they are.
Sorry, I was just thinking about like school shooters, and stuff, but it's also like, are also more likely to be white supremacists. So it's kind of like, where was I going with this? Well, but I also think it's just like, it's still like these, like, there's still people like broken down by like capitalism, but like still a product of white supremacy and capitalism.
Yeah.
Sorry, go.
Well, I think, you know, again, it goes back to what I take issue with the defining people as autistic, because nothing causes it. It's not a virus. It's not a disease. It's just a framework for categorizing people. And a lot of these people have been brought up in a culture that's very atomized. They spent a lot of their time in computers. They've had trouble building relationships with women and with other people because of how isolated we are now. And so that's going to produce this culture is going to produce more people who are cling to these identitarian movements and who are prone to act out in sort of like craven and antisocial ways.
Yeah. And I think that's actually super relevant to, so there's a problem with being autistic, saying somebody's like not normal or not typical. There's an issue with that. But there's also this part that makes me just feel like, that is just like a product of our society. And especially if you tell someone, oh, you're not going to be able to socialize like other people.
Yeah.
There's a chance that you'll internalize that. Like, I know when I work with my managers at work, like I have a couple, one of them like always like kind of gives me shit and acts like I don't know what I'm doing. And then I'm always bad at my job. And the other one just leaves me alone and tells me if I do something wrong, but like gently. And then I'm really good at my job.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So yeah. if you tell someone like, oh, you're like neuroatypical and you have autism and you're this and you're that, you're autistic. And like, that could totally like affect the way somebody, but they also say that people who have these tendencies are undiagnosed, but I still think
I just hate when people say as if it exists, like independent of the diagnosis. Because that's all, it begins and ends with the diagnosis.
So you know, you don't think that, so for example, there's people like you who are like here talking to me and like, obviously like, you know, you have your own life, you're functional. Then there's people like my cousin who are severely, like can barely talk. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like who like needs to, you know, at many times throughout the week has to like go out and go to special programs to make sure that they socialize and things like that. So like, but then what would you call that? Like, you would just think that that's just like an extra special needs kind of situation?
Yeah, I mean, I don't think we're in a place yet to label that person I think that that person needs resources and should be supported by the community. When I reject the idea of autism, I'm not saying, as you know, a lot of reactionary people do, oh, it's all an act, knock it out. Like, I absolutely not. I think people need resources. It goes back to mutual aid. We really have to change society fully for everybody to live in dignity, including people like this. You know, and capitalism has necessitated putting these people into these boxes and creating situations where they're dependent on, you know, their families going into debt just to keep them afloat and keep them functional and chipping them and like giving them, bringing them these appointments every week. I had a point earlier about the diagnosis thing. Oh yeah, there are so many people who like I interact with who I would say absolutely, if you put that person in a room with a doctor, they would say you're autistic, but they have no reason to go to that doctor in the first place. So they're going to live their life without ever thinking of themselves as autistic. You know, people who exhibit more symptoms than you or I, but who live their lives confidently. And so for that reason, they are not.
I'm probably way more miserable than those people.
Yeah, you probably.
Okay, I wish we had like a fucking half an hour to talk about this, but we don't. Because this is really, I want to talk about that. I'm like connected to like bipolar disorder. And all this. Like, honestly, I just feel like unless like you are having significant problems, like, and you're like becoming violent with anybody who's not a Nazi, or you're like
just not going to school or work.
I mean, it depends though. Like, you know, like what are you doing when you're not working? You know, like, are you not going to school and work because you're fucking like inventing some shit? Don't go to school. Go to work. Yeah. You know, let's figure out how to give you what you need because you're doing something awesome. Contributionist revolution. Okay. But, I got thrown off by my radical statement. Oh, so we have like 1 minute left. I don't know why we're still talking about all this shit. Oh, but whatever. Okay, so bipolar disorder, people who have extra emotions are great. People who, you know, maybe are savants are really great. People who aren't are really great. If you're a Nazi, I hate you. That's the end of it. You know what I mean? Like, most people are pretty down. I'm down with DSA. I'm down with Sage. I'm down with Marxist astrologists. Sage, you got like one quick thing to say, but we literally have like seconds.
Nah.
Oh, you got to clean anything to say? Oh, Podem America. You know, listen to that. Paid protest, right? Uh-huh. March 31st?
Paid protest is March 31st. And then the show I was talking about that where we're going into these issues is March 29th and 30th. It's called Dummy, and it's going to be at Vital Joint.
But, and then I think the paid protest is at Verso at the 31st.
Yeah.
Okay. Right. Everybody, thank you so much for listening. My name is Tuke Adelo. You've been listening to What Would Save the World on Radio Free Brooklyn. Coming up next is Brooklyn Bandstand on Radio Brooklyn Bandstand with Tom Tenney. I love you all so much. Fuck Nazis, though. What am I doing anything cool? I can't think of anything cool that I'm doing in the next couple weeks. So fuck it. Thank you all for listening. Keep listening to Radio.